Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, specializing in bathroom projects large and small. Photo galleries at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, October 31st. Happy Halloween. I'm Abby Larico. This morning, Deep dives on two very different stories, both a little hairy, though, and with a lot of legs. First, a judge has temporarily removed St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from office. The elected official was taken off the job after the court found he violated the terms of his bond and landed in federal prison. Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway wants to make that removal permanent.
It's stunning that this guy's been able to do all of this just since January.
Hanaway speaks with STLPR's Brian Munoz about the latest development in the sheriff's saga. Plus, did you know Missouri is home to tarantulas? If the thought of the giant fuzzy spiders makes your hair stand on end, well, a local scientist says Halloween is a time to celebrate these creatures.
They're spooky and they're fun, but they're not dangerous.
Join St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke on an expedition to count Missouri's native tarantulas, coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis City officials say only a fraction of the Rams settlement money allocated for tornado relief has been spent. As St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, city officials say they're focusing on cutting through red tape.
At a committee meeting Wednesday night, tornado recovery officials said while $23 million of Rams money set aside for tornado recovery has been contracted, only $4 million has been spent. Officials pointed to the slow process the city must go through to award contracts and said they are focusing on moving faster. The news comes nearly 6 months after an EF3 tornado ripped through North City. Board of Aldermen President Megan Green attended the meeting.
I think that we have a lot of hardworking staff that is putting us on track to recover. And I also think that the city can and should do more to reform our processes so that these move faster.
Many residents at the meeting urged the city to use the full $280 million in settlement funds for tornado recovery. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer and members of the Board of Aldermen announced a nearly $14 million package for winter sheltering operations. Aldermen say they will present three bills investing interest from the city's Rams settlement and money from the General Reserve to bolster winter operations. That's amid an expectation of greater need this winter due to the number of people displaced by the May tornado. Mayor Spencer calls the funds a historic investment.
We know this is still not enough, but it is a very considerable investment on the part of the city because we believe very strongly and are committed to the recovery.
The Board of Aldermen is expected to fast-track the bills over the next week. People spoke out against a proposed natural gas plant in Jefferson County at a public hearing last night. Ameren, Missouri is asking state regulators for permission to build the plant on the former site of the Rush Island coal plant. Multiple people commenting say they are worried the plant will be expensive and bad for the environment. Jenny Loomis urged the commission to reject Ameren's plan.
Even as energy production becomes more efficient, Ameren and the PSC will continue to raise rates and build facilities primarily meant to benefit big tech with little or no regard to environmental protection or price increases to customers.
The Missouri Public Service Commission is also accepting written comments on the project. More information on that is available at stlpr.org. Missouri Republicans have touted data centers as an economic development opportunity. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley says he's not sure the investment is worth it to electric ratepayers.
GOP officials like Governor Mike Kehoe and Congressman Jason Smith have supported building Missouri data centers, contending they'll create jobs and help rural communities. Hawley, though, questioned whether that's the case, since data centers don't have a lot of people working in them. He also says he doesn't want ratepayers to suffer, especially since the facilities use so much power.
If they're going to create jobs, hey, wonderful. But if they're going to suck up a bunch of electricity, they need to pay for that.
Proposed data centers in the St. Louis region have prompted widespread public opposition. But some labor unions have backed the projects for producing short-term and long-term jobs. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Senator Hawley also told STLPR he is hoping that both parties in Congress will agree to restart a critical federal food assistance program. Because of the government shutdown, the Department of Agriculture announced they're not planning on sending out SNAP benefits starting November 1st. Hawley is sponsoring a bill to start the program again. Hawley is urging Republican leadership in the Senate to get his bill passed.
If we can't agree on anything else, surely we can agree that the needy should be able to eat. And that's what my bill does, and I urge the Senate to pass it.
Democrats are backing a competing bill that also reauthorizes assistance for low-income mothers, known as WIC. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed an executive order releasing $20 million to support food banks across the state. That's as SNAP benefits will be cut off for nearly 2 million Illinoisans starting Saturday. The Democratic governor says this will be one of the only ways the state can offer support. When the system shuts down, he says recipients won't be able to access their SNAP accounts. St. Louis County officials are asking residents to donate diapers and other baby items to help families affected by the federal government shutdown. County Executive Sam Page says the shutdown comes as people are already struggling to pay bills and buy groceries.
And it's tough for young families to have to decide between feeding their babies, between paying their rent, between paying their utilities.
He says the drive is focused on diapers, wipes, and formula because these items are both expensive to buy and vital to have. People can drop off donations at county library branches and at the county's three public health clinics. Open enrollment for Affordable Care Act coverage starts this weekend, November 1st. Federal tax credits that help people pay for health plans on the open marketplace are set to expire in 2026. That means insurance costs for many will go up. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, certain insurance customers in southern Illinois will see some of the highest premium hikes in the country.
Without the subsidies, some families shopping on the Illinois Health Insurance Marketplace will see a six-fold increase in monthly premiums. The nonprofit health data organization KFF found in parts of southern and western Illinois, a 60-year-old couple making $85,000 a year will see monthly premiums increase 535%. Illinois Insurance Director Ann Gillespie says that's partially because of the region's high number of Medicaid recipients. Congress earlier this year cut Medicaid funding.
When they lose the revenue stream from Medicaid, they're going to have to find some way to close that gap. And so the most likely way to do that is to raise rates for commercial payers.
The same couple in the St. Louis region would see a threefold increase each month. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
How do you transition in this segment from news and politics coverage to Halloween? How about with this story? A former St. Louis County councilwoman is opening up about how she started practicing witchcraft. Kelly Dunaway says she became interested in witchcraft during the pandemic, where she often had to make difficult decisions about COVID-19 mitigation policies. After leaving office, she started a company called Legal Witchcraft that seeks to help people find empowerment. Dunaway says witchcraft is becoming more popular in conjunction with the rightward tilt of the federal government.
The more the right wing gains power, the more rights and privileges are taken primarily away from women. And it's a way for us to turn towards something that gives us back into our power and also connects us to each other.
Dunaway served for about 5 years on the council. She chose not to run for re-election last year. You can listen to Dunaway's full Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air interview at noon and 7 p.m. today on St. Louis Public Radio. The traditionally Latin American holiday Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead, is this weekend. A growing number of St. Louisans are celebrating. STLPR's Paola Rodriguez shares how some are welcoming the souls of their deceased loved ones back to the land of the living.
Residents will adorn altars and provide offerings that symbolize the person they're remembering in hopes to see them once more. In the case of Carondelet resident Harlow Fowler, they are remembering their aunt with butterflies.
In the Mexican tradition, monarchs represent the ancestors traveling up through from like Central to North America during their migration. So during the days of Dia de los Muertos, we consider the monarch butterfly to be an embodiment of the ancestors.
She leaves up her altar year-round as a way to never forget them. Fowler is also remembering their aunt in STLPR's digital ofrenda. I'm Paola Rodriguez, St. Louis Public Radio.
about that digital ofrenda. This year, to help celebrate Dia de Muertos, St. Louis Public Radio invited our neighbors to share photos of the people and pets that have died but remain with us in spirit and memory. You can find our community-contributed altar that honors their lives by heading to stlpr.org. Let's remember together. For the Missouri Attorney General, fourth time's the charm. After the fourth request from her office, a judge has temporarily removed St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from his post. The argument? He can't do his job from a jail cell. Attorney General Catherine Hanaway is leading the quest to oust the sheriff. She spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz just hours after the decision.
In our opinion, it was overdue that he be removed. Obviously, we had tried to remove him by filing the quo warranto action and by filing a motion for summary judgment. This is only a temporary removal. We still are going to have a trial starting on November 18th, but it's a very good thing for the city of St. Louis that he's been removed.
Right. And I think one of the questions people are asking themselves is, if the sheriff is permanently removed, who steps in to replace him and what does that process look like?
Right now, there's a process that's been set up by the judge who has the case for the temporary replacement, which is that the judges in the city are going to select that temporary replacement. Then, you know, there's going to be great cooperation between the mayor and the governor. In my view, it's the governor who makes that appointment, but there are arguments that it should be the mayor's appointment. The good news is we seem to have a mayor and a governor who are getting along and who are going to make a really experienced choice who can do this job well.
There's some argument from the Board of Aldermen here in St. Louis that they posit that it's up to actually them, the comptroller and the mayor, and that the governor isn't part of that equation. Do you agree with that view?
No, I don't. And the statute that they point to says very clearly that there is a county council, that council makes an appointment, but a county council is very different than a board of aldermen. There is no mention of the board of aldermen in any of the appointment statutes for sheriff, nor is there in the Missouri Constitution or the city charter. This is pretty clearly an executive function. They are a legislative body, either the executive in the form of the governor or the executive in the form of the mayor should make this appointment.
Sheriff Montgomery is sitting in jail, and while he's only temporarily removed, he's still holding his title permanently at the moment and will seemingly continue to be paid his roughly $145,000 a year salary. How do you explain that to the people of St. Louis who may see all this and tell themselves, well, wait a minute?
Well, what I can tell them is that the attorney general wants him gone completely and for the taxpayers to stop paying him. This is a judge's decision that he continues to get paid while he's sitting in jail.
Sheriff Montgomery has come out previously and said that this removal effort is racially motivated. How do you respond to that claim?
Absolutely, positively untrue. He's abused the office. He's neglecting his duties. Has absolutely nothing to do with anything other than his performance and non-performance as sheriff.
What message do you have for St. Louisans who are watching all of this unfold and are concerned about the sheriff's office here in St. Louis?
Well, I think it would be wise long-term for the citizens of the city, the mayor, all the elected officials who are policymakers to think about whether it's time to perhaps do away with the office entirely and reassign those duties to another office. It isn't a traditional sheriff's office in the sense that it doesn't have law enforcement responsibility. And there have been some arguments about who's supposed to do what. We don't need a sheriff in the city of St. Louis, but we especially don't need this sheriff.
That was Attorney General Catherine Hanaway speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz. This Halloween, houses across the region are decorated with huge fake spiders. Mine's one of them. But you might not have known that there are real giant spiders native to Missouri, tarantulas. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke went along with a group of scientists who are studying Missouri's brown tarantulas in their native habitat.
To find tarantulas in Missouri, you don't have to go far from St. Louis. But I can't tell you exactly where. That's because their location is top secret.
So these tarantulas are popular in the pet trade?
That's Becky Hansis O'Neill, a PhD candidate at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm meeting her and her team in an undisclosed place because it's illegal to disturb habitat and take tarantulas. In scary Halloween movies, giant spiders have a bad reputation. But Hansis O'Neill says the tarantulas we're looking for today aren't anything like Hagrid's pet spider in Harry Potter.
They're very docile. We don't even have to restrain them when we take the measurements and put little tags on them. So they're cupcakes.
We head off toward an ideal spot for tarantulas. Hansis O'Neill has been studying Missouri's tarantulas for 4 years.
We don't know how their populations are doing, so today we're going to go count some and get some measurements and see how they're doing.
After a short hike and a few wrong turns,
should be that way. That looks wrong.
We arrive at our destination. Tarantulas like warm, dry environments. Today, the UMSL team is checking a glade, an open, rocky ecosystem that can feel like a desert. Hansis O'Neill starts carefully picking up rocks to check underneath.
We're looking for holes, and then oftentimes there'll just be a spider, like right there, looking at ya.
She puts the rocks back precisely to minimize disturbance of this delicate habitat. It turns out a lot of things live under rocks in Missouri's glades.
Ooh, an old wasp nest with a black widow on it.
Lovely.
It ran away, but that was a whiptail lizard. These are striped bark scorpions.
Finally, we find who we're looking for.
Oh, we got somebody.
Hello. Oh, she's big.
The rest of the team rushes over to where Hansis O'Neill is crouched on the ground, peering into a burrow. They use a stick to coax the tarantula out of her hole.
All right, come on out.
The spider tries to look tough, raising two of her front legs up to look even bigger than she is.
Oh yeah, give me the threat pose.
No, so dangerous.
Eventually, the tarantula settles down. She has brown and black fuzzy hair and is about the size of an orange.
This is a freshly molted, relatively large lady, so this is a really beautiful spider.
The team gets to work.
We're gonna measure her and tag her. So she'll be white 67. Okay, so she's got her bling.
Next, they take out a special ultrasound machine to listen to her heartbeat. I didn't expect a tarantula heart to sound so similar to ours.
And this is the same technology that you would use to get a fetal heart rate on a person. I can hear that slowing down a little bit. Spider's calming down.
In years of studying these tarantulas, Hansis O'Neill has learned that Missouri's populations are lower than other areas where the spiders live. As the team measures the burrow's temperature, they find something really exciting.
Yay! This is a recapture.
Nice.
This is orange 94.
One of their own tags. So they've met this spider before, and the experience didn't scare her off. Hansis O'Neill loves that Halloween is a time to celebrate creepy crawly animals like tarantulas.
They're spooky and they're fun, but they're not dangerous.
And maybe this tarantula learned the same thing about scientists. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
To see photos and videos of the tarantula the team found, go to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, I Know Where the Tarantula Lives by the Dead Milkmen.
Everybody wants to know what is, but I know where the tarantula lives. Everybody wants to know what is, but I know where the tarantula lives.
I'm Abby Larico. I'm going to have nightmares about the fact that a tarantula heartbeat sounds like a human's. And from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for starting your Halloween with The Gateway. Have a safe and festive weekend.